Welcome to episode 92 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live from Microsoft Ignite 2018. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure and how it relates to you as an IT pro. In this interview from Microsoft Ignite, Scott took the opportunity to chat with Adam Levithan about modern intranets in Office 365.
Scott Hoag back at Ignite Conference with Adam Levithan from Withum Digital, and he is a principal of product, which is almost as much of a mouthful as my title, so we won't even get into it. But I've known Adam for a couple of years now, back from my Washington, D.C. days and all the Govy things that used to go on, and super excited to kind of get his take on what's going on in the Microsoft 365 world and SharePoint and Office 365, all the E3 and E5 kind of things that we can get into in the next couple of minutes. So, Adam, could you give everybody a quick intro and we'll get into it?
Sure. Oh my God, we're going to talk about licensing? You didn't say that when we started. That's going to get crazy.
Well, no, you're going to talk about
licensing. I'm going to talk about licensing. All right.
I'm going to sit over here and just cringe and bang my head against the desk.
Mic drop. Walking out.
You sure? I brought rum.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So, I've been in the industry for about 12 plus years, done a little bit from writing or making or whatever you want to call it, info platforms, to running a network operations team. So that's how I have some IT pro blood in me, building the site infrastructures for the front end or also building servers themselves. Yes, I have run through all of the scripts, STS Adam, which of course I pronounce that way, and even PowerShell, although I had to learn to close my brackets, you know, to actually have it run and not continuously loop.
We all have our faults.
Yeah, exactly. And now, with my fun title, I am product manager of our, we like to call it Internet as a Service, with, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek there, but, you know, we're a service provider. We're always going to be a service provider, but we've productized our technology that we've used for 15 years to deploy to all of our customers making portals. Now it's using the SharePoint framework, so it is modern, and that's called One Window Workplace, and so I'm in charge of pushing it on and making sure we have a consistent solution for all our customers.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic, but sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
Very cool. So you probably have some insights into not just kind of what's been going on in the development space, but as we make this transition between every kind of site that's out there, and, you know, we've got classic sites and we have modern sites, but then there's about 12 iterations of modern sites between communication sites,
right,
and hubs and a group site and a team site and a modern SharePoint team site thing.
Yeah. And then if you're here at Ignite, you also see on slides modern intranet. And I tweeted out, let's not confuse this and let's call it today's intranet, which, you know, because we're using modern for way too many things. And let me also be clear, the only thing I know about SharePoint framework, besides that it works and it's pretty good, is gulp. And that's where my experience stops with development. So don't ask me any of those questions that you know much more than I do about.
No, I know if you buy developers donuts, they build you things.
That is true. Beer works too.
And that's about where that goes. So let's talk about some of the today internet stuff and kind of modern. Actually, I like that because there's tons of
right
terms that are overused and what's been going on there and kind of how people can consume those and get into some of the latest iterations or kind of better functionality that's available today.
Right. I'm going to take a little step back, put on my Professor Adam hat like I like to do, and you also mentioned it, Microsoft 365, and probably in other sessions you've talked about it, but just in case, I'll remind people, it's not just marketing, although it kind of started that way. It is actually a state of mind that they're looking at. There's more teams that are now in the Well, it's not even called the OneDrive and SharePoint team anymore, isn't it? It's no. The Office 365 yeah. team. So it's now the Office 365 team. It's now the other team that has Teams, and it's the Dynamics CRM team. So, like, so much more is grouped together, and we know how much we are now relying on Power Apps and Flow, and they're so much closer together than ever before. So that's a big concept to think about when you're making your decisions on what the future brings. And so today is a grouping of all the technologies we've known and loved. And I've used that line a lot. But
some of us loved them. Some yeah. of us love to hate them.
Right, exactly, yeah. And on top of that, realizing that one example I joke with is it used to be that Microsoft drank champagne and gave us Prosecco. It's close, but it's not exactly the same. And what I meant by that is all the different development models, even if you want to talk about server, you know, the on-premises servers versus Office 365. Now, the on-premises server 2019 is from Office 365, just like 2016 was. So, you know, they're giving us the champagne that they're using. And with the SharePoint framework, they are building everything that they're giving us using the SharePoint framework. And when they find the gap, they build the gap. You know, listening to conversations from developers, today's intranet is built the same way that Microsoft's doing it, that we can do it as a third-party solution, or anyone, you know, can really jump in with more today skills. I was almost going to say modern. We'll break that.
It's easy to fall into your
own
trap.
We'll break that rum out there. And so another part of that, they're looking at everything as a whole. Number one, the SharePoint framework represents. They like to say free mobile, which is true. But it's going to honor all of the different changes that they make within Office 365. And even within Teams, they're going to use SharePoint framework also for the tabs so that all of the behaviors are the same. And that's all that our end users want.
Yeah, it's nice to have engineering focused on having to adhere to the same contracts that we do as customers.
Right.
So from a deployment or a build and really a consumption perspective, you know, sitting down and thinking about, like, I'm a user and I have to interact with this service, somebody on the other side is having the same experience as you and they're feeling the same pain, and it's being driven in engineering and then making its way downstream to us as customers and consumers of the platform.
Exactly.
So as folks are taking a look and they're thinking about, you know, I've got this wide ECM SharePoint-ish thing, and intranets are certainly kind of a buzzword. I think it's interesting to talk to somebody who comes from a productized intranet side of things. And I thought it'd be helpful to kind of talk about that life cycle of what we can do in the box. And then maybe where we run into walls and it makes sense to start thinking about, hey, do we build it ourselves? Do we want to go out and roll it? Do we want to kind of take a look and maybe think about, like, the build versus buy conversation and where we might be able to, I always talked about, like, inflicting value on users, like really where we can push that downstream
right.
and have some, you know, a little bit of ROI out of these platforms, because we're spending a bunch of money on,
right.
on licensing. So for Microsoft 365, it's consumption of all of these services. So it's not just the engineering of them and pushing them out. It's also, I've got SharePoint and I've got OneDrive and I've got Exchange, which means I have Teams and I have Groups, and I've got this whole identity service that's just in the background, and now I'm an Azure subscriber, and I might have my desktop Cal tied into it as well. So just from a pure, you know, hey, intranet, I want to get some of that information and kind of internal marketing out to my users. How do you kind of sit down and rationalize that with an organization?
So, you know, I'm going to say from my consulting days that it depends, of course, even with a productized intranet.
And I will tell you that's okay,
because
that answer applies to everything we do. Even after I got out of SharePoint, it was still everything depends.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's a narrower set of it depends, in the sense that there are consistent themes. You know, as silly as it is, people want quick links. People want to roll up the news and events and see it in different ways. And there are some common trends that we can provide and that Microsoft is catching up on. I think the grandest scheme of things is The items that were shown here, actually I saw an internet one today, fantastic. I mean, they really are trying to get closer and closer to a full internet, a full portal as we would have designed it a half a year ago that you'll be able to do with point and clicks. And actually the session itself was a three people on the tables building a site structure. Now the secret there that they didn't talk about is that they probably met, you know, 20 times to figure out what the script was
and they planned it, and then came in.
But besides that, it did take an hour and 15 minutes and they had it after all that planning. So that's amazing stuff. But the reality is that a client comes to me right now and says, well, I need these features. So targeting, personalization, and I need them now. I have my budget or I have my plan or this is happening at my company. So we need the Office 365 presence to exist and I need it now. And so waiting for the great features that will come. So that's the hard part as a product manager. You have to say, okay, what's most important? What are you rolling out now? And so that's the give and take that we've always had with Microsoft in consulting, as you know, and product. It's a little bit more extreme. And so I think the things to look at for intranets are the two biggest users are the person and the content. Well, maybe not users then. The two biggest focuses.
The pillars.
The pillars. Fine. I wouldn't drink that rum again. Thank you for that. Those are better. The two pillars, where it used to just be corporate communications is going to create this thing, and like you said, inflict culture and inflict communication, which are all true things that I believe in, but guided from a few people out to the many. And that still exists, don't get me wrong. But now it's more about, for adoption, let's create a site that the individual gets the content that they want or close to what they want. We want to mix and match, right? Like, oh, I knew I wanted that. Oh, what's that one? And we can push that out to them. But it's ever-changing. It's based on work that people are doing every day. That's what's sort of funny, too, now about what's an intranet compared to collaboration.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or clouds like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
It's an interesting thing for me to think about, you know, back in my SharePoint days, and you know, we would go out and do those information architecture kind of planning sessions, and there's things that customers today kind of need to recognize to keep up with the trends and the directions, kind of the way the wind is blowing with Microsoft.
Right.
You know, we used to do these very deep site structures with a root site and lots of subsites because we wanted kind of integrated security. We didn't have a nice model to say, let's go into something like Azure Active Directory and have a dynamic security group because we're licensed for it. Now we can generate that construct based on just
E5, by the way.
An attribute.
I think.
Yeah, P2s, all that good stuff. Yep, just to drag it all in there and kind of pull it together. But you have to kind of sit down and take a step back and say, how are we actually going to build that and approach it? So it's and then it's not even just the maybe, you know, how the structure of the site's going to look, because I think you very much see these kind of like push and pull scenarios where, yeah, corporate communications has their stuff. HR has certain things they need to get out.
Right.
But there might be your IT org or your sales org or somebody else who's really dynamic and they're kind of ever changing. They don't want to be beholden or necessarily gated by somebody else. So now we have these kind of really wide and flat structures that are being kind of championed everywhere.
Right.
And I think that's the guidance today, right? Is try and do that. Like, lots of site collections are okay because now site collections can scale, especially in the cloud or on-prem as well with some of the newer stuff in 2019. But then you've got to make some other decisions. I mean, there's how do you decide between a communication site or a hub site, or is it a SharePoint site? Like, when is a site a site? When's a site not a site?
When to use a site when? Oh, man. Okay, fine. Thanks for going there. Well, and that's actually, so that's where I will use the term modern. And why I talked about Microsoft 365 is there, to me, the definition of modern is a connected universe. So a modern team site is a team site that has everything in Office 365 hanging off of it. And I'm glad you mentioned Azure Active Directory, because one of the things I think people from SharePoint world don't really think about is the connection to Azure Active Directory, because we've successfully been able to avoid that with the user profile. We've been able to avoid it with...
After all these years, authentication and authorization are still important.
Right, exactly. Go figure. But also, they're probably rightfully, you can hear I don't fully buy it, but probably rightfully pulling away SharePoint groups. I mean, to some people's pain and suffering, and to other people's simplicity. And so it's the connection, so that when you get a... And actually, I have another phrase twist, too. I do not like calling it a team site now because, well, there's this other thing out there. So it's a collaboration site or a communication site to me.
The number of times I've heard people walk around this week and go, I mean, the Teams team, the capital T teams.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, like, capital T.
Anything that can help kind of make that distinction and lay it out is always good.
Right, and someone, just for the record, someone did just turn around and clap while we're sitting here, I think. So a collaboration site is a connected site. So number one, Azure Active Directory, it has an Office 365 group. For those listening, don't worry, you're actually going to be able to start seeing when a site has an Office 365 group. The crowds go crazy.
It's all coming in the admin center.
Exactly.
Turns out people wanted to see that kind of thing without PowerShell.
Yeah, weird.
And the graph.
And what a silly thing to want to see. Can connect a Microsoft Teams to a collaboration site. You don't have to have it. There will be, finally, integration with Yammer, which actually I like. I've been waiting for that since Groups was announced, and then Planner, and then all these things. I don't even know what's going to come up next. So the quintessential piece is a collaboration site is a connected, and that's what modern is. And some of the features in the old design you can turn on, but not for subsites. Subsites can look can look modern. So that's that look modern look and feel. But they cannot be modern, and so that's a big thing to remember, and something too. Subsites will not go away, but you just do not have the capabilities that you're going to have with site collection.
Yeah, over time, there's kind of this argument and general encouragement in the product to go a little bit of a different way,
right.
And as some of the security headaches get better and kind of group management, like native security group management, because now we've got this construct of a group in Azure AD versus the group over in Office 365 or SharePoint Online, kind of how it manifests itself above those underlying workloads.
Right. And think about it for the IT pros listening, and maybe we need some database administrators here, but think about SharePoint and how it works. All of the subsites are taking up space in your database. And imagine when you're doing, they don't even call it Fort Knox anymore, do they?
No.
Do they? But I still like calling it that. But when you're shredding storage, 5-7 times, whatever it is now, how complicated it is to identify those sub items that a subsite brings and complicates the database compared to a site collection, which is a unit of measure. It has its own database. It has, so it's easy to distribute throughout the region. It's easy to back up. It's easy to restore. And that's actually one of the items you lose. You cannot do the wonderful restore features when you have a subsite.
Yeah.
So
they're sitting there at the top. And that was one of the announcements this week, right? We've had that in OneDrive. And what's OneDrive? It is a site
collection.
It turns out that all of a sudden we can take what is SharePoint and bring the functionality to SharePoint.
Amazing.
Imagine that.
Right.
It's a feature.
It's a feature. So then a communication site, completely the benefit of it is that it is those landing pages, those informational sites, HR benefits, a few documents, but you want it to be pretty, you want it to be easy to find information. And those are not connected. So those are the sites that look very nice and modern, but don't have all of the additional features. And that's fine, and that's great, so that you can have that and not have the overhead that, from my IT pro background, you go, what? Wait. And also, you mentioned transition, and I think that's one of the biggest things when you have a sub-site structure, which was right for the time. You know, the, don't look at it and say that was done wrong, but let's use marketing for an example. If you have marketing as a sub-site of departments, yes, I've seen that, you know, do you want to raise it up to being a site collection? Oh, wait, did you allow people to create a team before and they grabbed the marketing at contoso.com? Wait a second, what are we going to do here?
We run into collisions and all the fun stuff that comes with it. There's definitely some design considerations, especially if you're in a certain state today.
Right.
And like you said, it's okay. Like, we are hierarchical thinkers. Like, it's the way humans work, right?
Right.
And we all love folders on our desktops, like, you know, prime away from our cold, dead fingers.
Right.
They're going to be there.
And that now, speaking of prying away, you're going to use all of my, you know, secrets in one podcast. But I think the other thing about Microsoft 365 is really being on Windows 10 and using files on demand. And I actually have a few internet customers that we're moving from our first generation solution to our new SharePoint Modern framework solution. And they've adopted since, well, it's less than a year, since Windows Fall Creators Update 2017, they're all on files on demand.
Yep.
And
we're about to move into the next iteration of Windows.
Exactly,
they,
right.
They just keep coming.
Yeah, and but that means, admittedly, they created subsites. And now we can't unlink them from the subsites, although I'll go to the booth and see if there is a way.
Yeah.
There is a way to set, you know, SharePoint sites for someone, for, you know, through group policy, but that's not going to help because I'm not sure exactly what each individual has synced to their desktop. So I'm wondering if there's a way to discover that and then push, retarget the site collections as they're created. So it's things like that, that we're not looking at the IA as how do I travel the path, although that's going to be important, and that's what hubs can solve, or that's another area for us that we have a navigation that's a little bit more flexible. But it's more about what's the operation order that you're deploying this in, and what are the dependencies on Microsoft 365. And honestly, I think adoption-wise for OneDrive and now even for SharePoint, a lot of people are moving their file shares into SharePoint, and the adoption's like, oh yeah, yeah, this one list can handle millions of items and it doesn't matter anymore. So yeah, put that like 10 gigs of documents, 100 gigs of documents, 200 gigs of documents in one document library. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Press the button, sync it, and it looks like your file share and you don't know anything different. It's just a pretty company icon.
We're paying for the storage, so somebody might as well use it.
Right.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke and I'm one of the founders at Office365Mon.com. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at office365mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with office365mon.com.
Very cool. Anything else you can kind of think of that was announced this week that, you know, it's got you kind of excited about just where they're going with the product?
So I think, you know, as an MVP, you get to see the evolution. We, you know, meet in March, and then there was the SharePoint conference. So some of these things have been talked about, but even here, they're 9 months later, less than that, they are more developed than they were before, and that's really amazing to see. And one of the things that came clearer than maybe I was paying attention, so I'm not blaming this on them, but for me, again, goes back to Azure Active Directory, and I think we've even mentioned this before. So it's really the concept for them. And I'm still taking this all in, but for them, when they want to do, they're calling it an audience. Don't get it mixed up with old school audiences.
It's the audience that's not an audience.
It's audience, well, or that is a real audience. Ooh, we'll have that discussion later. And that will use Azure Active Directory groups. And I at first pushed back, but then they're going to allow you to use the dynamic groups. So guess what? What we're doing right now is we look at department and it's marketing. Oh, what's a dynamic group? Department equals marketing. The location equals UK versus US.
Yep.
Oh, crap. That's exactly what we're doing now, but it's in the same methodology as people are used to. And you get the benefit that you can use it for email also, depending on the type of group that you're doing. So really interesting. And I bring it up because I think that demonstrates the connectivity of across Microsoft 365. That's not going to hit till like Q1 of next year, but it's planning for it and understanding where they're going and how that will affect what, if you're migrating, really cleaning up Active Directory, reteaching your users. Again, that marketing department. Do you want to use the distribution list or do you want to use marketing at Contoso?
Yeah, I think it's kind of important, you know, what you mentioned there about watching for when these things are coming and how they come downstream.
Right.
So things are announced at conferences like this, and sometimes it's easy to miss that, oh, that's going to be available in targeted release in November.
Right.
So you need to have part of your tenant perhaps enabled for targeted release and ready to go and ready to push that out.
Right.
And understand how you're going to plan it and consume it. Or maybe you do need to go out and just do a quick trial tenant.
Right.
and see what's going to happen so you can play with that functionality and see how it comes along.
And I think the one thing, again, the evolution over the last 3 years, and this is something that I don't know if they would, but I give Yammer credit for. I believe that Microsoft invested in Yammer not only for the technology, but also for the cloud deployment methodology that they were so famous for. And now, the roadmaps that we see, while there's still some items that are like, 4 quarters away, mysterious, but that's just, we never know what's going to happen. But I truly believe, especially in the OneDrive team because of their success, but also in the internet team, I am confident what they say is going to be in Q4 is going to be in Q4.
Yeah.
And you still have to watch it because then you have a ring. It's deployed to first ring in Q4. They didn't say everyone, you know, so there's still some time there. But it's getting to be much, much more consistent. They're doing very important but not huge dynamic things. Although actually in the OneDrive session today, one of the product managers was saying, oh, well, we worked on network deployment speed and now it's 2 times faster. I can only imagine the Azure power that is behind that if they're doing it, it's for commercial and enterprise.
Yes.
So yeah. It's like 4 million plus users of this service, and I probably miss going low on the numbers, not counting machines, right, and files. Yep. And all that kind of stuff. What did that take? And that was just one thing on the roadmap, you know, holy cow. So I think that's a big takeaway, on the general level of things.
Very cool. Well, I very much appreciate the time today.
Thanks for having me.
Where can everybody find you on the internet? You're on Twitter, all that good stuff?
Me? No. Yeah. So my good old handle, @collabadam on Twitter, and then @witham. It's just my first name, first initial last name, alevithan@witham.com if you want to email me. Twitter probably, you can get me quicker, but thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.